Well, Kelly, not with you.
Did Kelly, come in?
Thank you.
I mean, Yes, I'm okay. He's probably got it. Sister, come with me for a second, if you could. Can we have some music we can put on? Is Miguel or anybody here?
Thank you.
know, because the heart keeps being a little guy. Yeah. You gotta start thinking about guys.
She hit that
gas.
Yeah. I told her for you.
Want a break from the ads? Watch this short video to receive 30 minutes of ad-free music. Here, there's a sound you should get used to. That's right, we love our customers, and we're going to put a little kissing up, and that's why we have a ridiculously good deal. We're giving you half off all pizzas when you order one. Go to Domino's.com, select the coupon, and get all pizzas for 50% off menu price. But hurry, it's for 1 week only, November 25th or
December. Now we're ready.
Oh, yes, we did. Online order
pizza.
Thank you.
morning, Christian Family Church. How are you this morning? A little chillier than normal, which is appropriate. But I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. We're going to have an awesome time of praise and worship. We're going to hear a great word, and I believe we're all going to come out changed and renewed, and we're going to give God some glory. So if you would stand with us while we get ready to worship our King. Glorify you. Hallelujah. I want you to clap your hands. declaration that we know in our hearts that He reigns forever. He is God above all things. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Deliverer. He is the one who redeems. We're going to sing it as loud in this house this morning. Come on, church.
What it's like to go to church for the first time. Our family wasn't church going. I mean, we went occasionally when we were kids, but When I was 16, I went to church, and I remember how strange it felt. You know, sometimes you go in a new place and it feels strange. So, you know, if you are visiting for the first time and it feels a little strange, just relax. We're pretty nice people, right? True. Actually, very nice people, even if I say so myself. And we just welcome you. We'd like to give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you are here visiting for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand where you're sitting? Anyone here for the first time today? God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All on that side and here. Thank you. Just keep your hand raised so when Usher gets a gift bag to you. Thank you. Come in. And you from both sides there. Thank you, ushers. Just keep your hand raised. Thank you. Right here. Lift it a little higher. They can't see you. There you go. Wonderful. In that gift bag's a couple of things. We put a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. And the reason we put it in there is we hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Maybe in the week you're feeling it's been so long since you were in church. Then just put it in your car or just listen to it. We hope it'll encourage and uplift you. And inside that gift bag is also a white card. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. If you just drop that in, it gives us the opportunity to give you a call. And by us, I mean Pastor Steve, give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate you being here. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Right. Well, good morning, everybody. Did you all have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Glad you're in church today. I know that we have some folks still out of town with Thanksgiving, but we're glad that you are here this morning. Praise God. You know, thank you, James. You can just put it down there. Thank you so much. You know, how many of you know what's happening next Sunday? Who's going to be with us next Sunday? Bill Weiss. How many of you ever heard Bill Weiss's story? Wave your hand if you've heard his story. Hold it up high. How many of you have never heard Bill Weiss's story? Hold your hand up high. High, up high. Reach for the sky. All right. Well, next Sunday, in fact, do you have the video ready? Go ahead, play the video, then I'll talk about it. Watch this video for 2 minutes, if you don't mind, then I'll talk about it. Nice and loud.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get a glass of water, and suddenly I was pulled out of my body, and I found myself falling through the air, and I landed in this actual prison cell in hell. This was an out-of-body experience. I've never had one like this before. There were these demonic creatures in this cell. Reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over their bodies. These particular two were about 12 or 13 feet tall. They had absolutely no mercy, an extreme hatred for God and for man. The one picked me up and threw me into the wall, tremendous strength. I collapsed on the floor. I felt bones broken. The other one dug his claws into my chest, tore the flesh open. You have a body in hell, but it can withstand this torment. I was taken out of the cell and I was placed over next to this large raging pit of fire. This pit was just a huge hole in the ground with flames raging high up in this open cavern. It's the most awful sight to see a person on fire, burning, screaming. The demons are tormenting people. The smells are so foul and putrid. There's not a drop of water. I was so thirsty. The screams were so loud from just millions of people at the top of their lungs screaming that it's not metaphorical or allegorical. It's real literal pain you're going to feel in hell. There's no love of any kind. You understand you're never going to get rescued. There's no angels to protect you. Because, you know, we're made eternal beings in God's image. And so our soul is eternal. And to know you'll be there for all eternity without hope. Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. You have no hope for Jesus because it's too late for them. The decision's final.
Now, in In 1998, Bill Weiss had an experience where the Lord took him to hell for 23 minutes. And he wasn't expecting that to happen. They'd just come back from a prayer meeting. He was a realtor out in California, been a Christian since he was 16 years old. And he went to bed, and the next thing he knew, he came out of his body and went down, and the Lord took him and showed him hell for 23 minutes. And let me tell you, if you see hell just for 23 seconds, it'll change your life forever. You'll never be the same. I thank God I never plan on seeing it. Amen. How about you? Amen. And so anyway, Bill Weiss ended, long story short, he ended up writing a book called 22 Minutes in Hell. He'd never written a book in his life. It became an overnight New York Times bestseller. In 1 year, sold 1 million copies, which is really unheard of for a first-time author. And since that time, Bill has ended up having to leave his real estate business and career, and he travels full-time telling his story in churches, and he's been on over 250 television shows and radio shows and some major, I mean, he's been on Hannity, and he's been on Mad Cow, that's a DJ called Mad Cow. You ever heard of Mad Cow? Anyone listen to Mad Cow? You haven't listened, you don't know what you're missing out if you don't listen to Mad Cow. Anyway, he's number 7 radio station in the nation. Bill's been on his radio show many times. And so, family, how many of you know that hell is real? And why am I having Bill next week come and tell his story of what happened? Because we love people. We care about people. We don't want the people around us to go to hell. And you know, Jesus spoke a lot about hell. 42 times he mentioned hell. He spoke about the fires of hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place of torment. It was created for the devil and his angels. But anyone who doesn't know Jesus is going to go to hell. Jesus said, he that believes will be saved. He that does not believe will be dead, will be condemned. And so, because we love people, we don't want anyone to go to hell. I mean, that's why God sent his son Jesus to the earth, to die on the cross, to take our sin, to go to hell in our place. Jesus went to hell so we don't have to go. But you know, if you don't know that, a lot of people don't realize this. They don't know this. And so I want to encourage you. You know, I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, and I'm looking at the board, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cards up there. And you're all supposed to be bringing back these cards today.
That's right.
So that you can put it up on that board, so that we can pray for those people. You know, the Bible says, Paul the Apostle, he wrote in Acts chapter 20, I believe it was, and he said, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news of the gospel. Do you know that telling others about Christ makes your life worthwhile? Paul said, my life is worth nothing. My life is useless unless I use it for the work that God has given and assigned to me. What work is that? The work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. Family, all of us have been given this work to tell others about the goodness of God, to tell others that hell is real, but you don't have to go there. Jesus paid the price so that you could go to heaven. We want to. How many of you want to see people get saved next Sunday?
Amen.
How many of you know there's people all around us? How many of you know there's people all over Jupiter? If they die tonight, they go to hell. Jesus said that the gate and the road that leads to hell is broad, is wide, and many are on that road. But the path that leads to eternal life is narrow, it's straight, and only a few find it. Listen, we want to help people find the narrow path.
Amen.
We want to get people off the broad road that's going to hell, and we want to get them on the narrow path to go to heaven with us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We want to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. That's what God has called us to do. Don't go to heaven by yourself. Let's plunder hell. Let's populate heaven. That's what we're here for. That's what makes our life worthwhile, is to tell others, is to make disciples, is to share the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to encourage you during the service today, even as I'm speaking, it won't bother me. I want you to take that little card. It looks like this. And I want you to write down the names of people that you know who need Christ, who need Jesus. People that you know who, you're not sure if they died, if they'd go to heaven. Let me tell you, if someone's on fire for God, you'll know it. You don't have to wonder about it. I want you to write their names down on that card. That little card looks like this. Even while I'm preaching today, and I want you to come forward, and I want you to stick it on that little board there. Just if it gets filled up, just put them on top. Because in the service, at the end of the service, at the close of service today, as a church, we're going to pray for those people. We're going to pray that they will come. We're going to take authority over the enemy. You know, the Bible says that the devil has blinded the minds of people so they can't see the light of the gospel.
Yeah.
I said, do you know, the Bible says the devil has blinded people's minds.
Yeah.
So they cannot see the light of the gospel. Do you know that anybody that hears about Jesus and rejects him, their mind is blinded. You've got to be blind to reject your only hope of salvation.
Amen.
That's like drowning out in the Atlantic. Imagine you were on the Titanic and you were one of those and you were in the water and someone comes up, offers you a life raft, and you say, no, I don't believe in you. That's what it's like. You're going to be dumb and blinded to reject Christ when you're headed to an eternal hell. Family, we love people, don't we?
Yes.
We care about people, don't we?
Yes.
We care about our friends and family and people we work with, don't we?
Yes.
Well, I want to encourage you to bring somebody next week to hear this story. Let me tell you, even though I've heard Bill's testimony at least 10 times, probably more than 10 times, probably more. But every time I hear him tell his story, it's good for me. Do you know why it's good for you? It reminds me what I've been saved from. And it reminds me that I'm going to stay true and endure to the end and be faithful to the Lord. I ain't taking no chances. I don't know about you. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
So it reminds me what I've been redeemed from. I want to encourage you to bring somebody with you next week. I'm telling you, this is one of the most powerful messages, testimonies, services you'll ever bring an unsaved person to. Let me tell you, if someone can listen to Bill Weiss and not get saved,
yeah.
If anyone can hear this story, I almost want to get saved every time I hear it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's next week. Now, because next week, unfortunately, this ballroom is not available. When we booked the hotel more than six months ago, this room had been booked up in advance next week. So unfortunately, we don't have this room next week, but we have another great room. That's why we're going to do two services next Sunday. We're going to do one at 10, because I don't think we'll get everybody into one. We're going to do one service at 10, and we're going to do a second service at 12. So next week, say it with me, next week, we have two services at church. 10
o'clock
and 12 a.m. Two opportunities. 12, just testing you. You see, just testing you. Say this, I've got two opportunities to bring somebody to church so they can be saved. And I'm going to do it. Tell your neighbor, I'm bringing people next week. How about you? Amen? And then as I'm preaching today, just bring those cards and stick them on that board. Just write down their names. Do we have any more of those cards? There's one laying over there. Is there anyone that needs one of these cards? How many of you said, Pastor Steve, I need one? Kathy, take this one. Lisa, you need one too, don't you? Gayla, has anyone got an empty one sitting next to them? Because I think we've used most of them up.
Hands up.
Who else needs one? Let's share them. Here's one for you, Gayla. Can you hand that one down, please? If you've got an empty card next to you, just let us know. We'll get it out. Let's fill that board up. Let's see souls get saved next Sunday. What do you say? Can you say amen?
Amen.
We love people at church, right? We love to see the lost get saved. Next Sunday, I'm believing for a great harvest of souls. How about you?
Amen.
Thanks for your enthusiasm this morning. You're still stuck with that turkey? Is that what it is? Then listen, this is the invite. When you sat down today, this is the invitation card that you use to invite someone next week. Next week, man, we got this guy coming to church. You should come and hear his story. He went to hell. He went to hell for 23 minutes. He's going to come and tell us what he saw. Use this card. Is hell a literal burning place? Who will go to hell? How can I avoid hell? These are questions going to be answered. Use this as an invitation. Invite as many people as you can next week. Will you do it?
Yes.
I said, will you do it?
Yes.
Convince me. Will you invite people this week?
Yes.
Amen. I believe you. And then finally, on your chair, just to let you know, our Christmas services, we are having Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. and we are having a Christmas Day service. So all those people that are in a church that they're not having Christmas Day, you can tell them, our church has Christmas Day. I'll be here on Christmas Day. We have a Christmas Day service at 10 a.m. So Christmas services is on Christmas Eve, Saturday, 7 p.m. and Christmas Day at 10 a.m. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Same service. Then don't forget this afternoon. In fact, I'll tell you more about that in a moment. I'll keep that for later. Now, as I'm preaching today, just come on forward, put your card on the board, write down the name of somebody. Everybody here must know somebody that you can invite to come next week to hear Bill Wiss, right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Father, we thank you that you are good, Lord, all the time. You're faithful to us. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, that you will bring direction to our life. Lord, we look to you. We rely on you. We look to you for our daily bread, for our daily direction. And I thank you, Lord, today that you anoint me, that you help me, that you enable me to teach your word this morning. And I give you all the honor, all the praise for everything that will be said and done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
This morning, I want to speak to you about daily bread. About daily bread. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 32 in verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Do you know that God wants to guide you along the best pathway for your life? Do you know God has the wisdom, the guidance, the direction that you need? But you know it's not going to happen automatically. Do you know that every day you've got to go to God and you've got to say, Lord, show me my assignment. Show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to go. Lord, give me the words to speak, not my will. Let your will be done in my life. You've got to ask him for wisdom. You've got to ask him for guidance. It's an act of surrender. It takes humility to say, Lord, you know what's best for me. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Open the right doors, Lord. Close the wrong doors. Make the path clear. I'm looking to you, Lord, to guide and direct my life. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then what will happen? He shall direct your path. The NIV Bible says, the New International Version, it says, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways submit to God. In all your ways acknowledge him. The Living Bible says, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. You see, too often, here's what we do. Too often, we make our own plans without consulting God, and then we ask God to bless our plans. Lord, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. I want you to bless my plan. And we wonder why it's a struggle. Why it feels like, you know, it's always uphill. Because we have it backwards, family. We're making a move and then we're asking God to help us. The right way is to first ask God. To first say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I date this person? Should I start this new project? Should I make this new purchase? Should I take this job? Should I move to this city? If you feel a peace in your heart about it, then move forward. But if not, hold off knowing God knows what is best for you, family.
Amen.
You know, in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven. Say that with me. My Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice that. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now notice Jesus said, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice, he didn't say give us our weekly bread. Give us our monthly bread. Well, Pastor Steve, I come to church every Sunday. Well, that's wonderful. Praise God. I'm glad you do. You need to. But every morning, you need to go to God for your daily bread. Daily wisdom. Daily strength. Daily direction. Daily provision. Daily anointing. You see, in John 15, in verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. See, too many times, family, we are trying to do things only in our own strength. Only in our own intellect. Only with our own ability. And that's gonna limit you. Because God can see things that you can't see. God knows the right people who should be in your life. He knows where the danger is. He knows where the dead ends are. God knows how to catapult you into your destiny, family. You've got an advantage. Are you taking time for your daily bread? Because sometimes, you know, we rush out of the house. We're in such a hurry. Oh, I don't have time today. You know, Steve, I've got to get to work today. Listen, never meet with other people before you meet with God. I said, never meet with other people before you meet with God. If you take time to acknowledge God and say, Lord, I need you today. Lead me today. Guide me today. Keep me on the right path today. Let me tell you, not only will your day go better, but God will keep you from making mistakes. When you go to God daily and you ask Him for wisdom and you ask Him for direction and you ask Him for strength, you are showing your dependency on Him.
Amen.
And when you humble yourself like that, the Bible says that God will exalt you. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord, He will exalt you in due time. See, a lot of times people, they're too prideful. A lot of times people, you know, they think like this. Well, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. Look how successful I am already. Think about where you could be if you start acknowledging God. Think about the mistakes that He could have saved you from. Think about the opportunities, the favor, the doors that you couldn't open. But God can open, family. Don't do it on your own. That'll limit you. Start getting your daily bread, your daily direction from God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, when the Israelites were out there in the wilderness, in the desert, they were on their way to the promised land, God gave them manna to eat every morning. Now, manna was something like bread. It formed on the ground, and the manna would only last for a day. Every morning they had to go out every morning and get a fresh supply. God said, don't gather it up. Don't keep it. Because it'll go bad. You've got to go out every day. And you've got to get fresh manna. I'm sure there were some people who thought, well, I don't feel like going out tomorrow. I'm going to save myself some time and energy. And I'm going to gather up enough for the whole week. I'm going to save it. But when they woke up the next morning, all that manna they'd saved up, it was all soil. They couldn't eat it. You see, the principle that God gave them is they had to go out every day.
Amen.
And they had to get fresh manna every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what the word manna in Hebrew literally means? The word manna literally means, what is it? It literally means, what is it? Because when they looked at it on the ground, they said, what is it? See, when you go to God every day for fresh manna, the right attitude is, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is my assignment? What is your will for my life? I need fresh manna from you. You don't go to God giving him orders, telling him what to do and how to do it, but you rather go to God, Lord, show me the best path. Show me how to overcome this problem. Show me how to accomplish my dreams. You see, are you getting your daily bread? Are you checking in with headquarters to get your assignment each morning? Asking God, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? Or are you on autopilot, just doing what you've always done? You see, the challenge with that approach is what worked in the past may not work today. Sometimes God will do things a different way. You know, when the Israelites needed water out there in the desert, they were thirsty. And in Exodus chapter 17 in verse 6, God said to them, I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai, strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. And then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out. And the elders watched. They looked on. God told him, strike the rock, Moses, and water's going to come gushing out. Right?
Yeah.
But another time when they needed water, God said to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. And that's in Numbers 20 verse 8. He said, speak to the rock over there and it'll pour out its water. But the problem was Moses was on autopilot. He didn't listen. Moses thought to himself, well, I got this, no problem. I don't need to check in with headquarters. I don't need to get daily direction. I've overcome this problem before. I can do it again. And so in Numbers 20 verse 10, then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. And they said, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water from this rock? And then Moses raised his hand and he struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out, so the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them. Now that seems like a pretty big, serious consequence to me. Moses never went in the promised land. You know why? Because he didn't do what God told him. Moses struck the rock again. Same problem, same desert, similar rock, but God had a different plan this time. God is saying, Moses, just because I had you do it that way the last time, that doesn't mean I want you to do it that way this time. What am I saying? You can't live off of yesterday's manna, family, and expect to have victory today. Yesterday's information may not work for today, because our God is a God of freshness. Our God likes to do new things. Can you say amen?
Amen?
It's easy to get stuck in a rut and think, well, I don't need daily direction. I mean, Steve, I've overcome this problem before. I'm going to use the same tactics to overcome it this time. But like with Moses, sometimes the old way doesn't work. You've got to get some fresh manna. If not, you'll just keep on striking the rock when you should be speaking to the rock. I mean, it's a small tweak, but let me tell you, you only hear this if you're getting your daily bread. If you're going to God daily and looking to Him for direction and looking to Him for wisdom, and you've got to stay open for change. You've got to be willing to try something new. What made you successful 5 years ago may not make you successful today. What worked in your marriage in the past may not work today. Why don't you get some fresh manna? Have the attitude, God, I'm ready for new things. Are you ready for new things today? Say, Lord, I'm ready for new things. Say, I want fresh manna. I want daily direction. You know, I've heard it said, if you don't innovate, you will evaporate. You can't rely on what got you to where you are to keep you where you are. The world is changing. Somebody wants your job. Somebody wants your spouse. Somebody wants your dreams. Listen, you can't afford to sit back on autopilot and just coast along and just do things the same way. You'll get left behind. But the good news is God has daily bread for you, daily favor, daily ideas, daily wisdom, daily abundance, daily direction, daily guidance. If you stay open, He will lead you into the fullness of your destiny. If you will rely on Him and go to Him every day, let me tell you, God will guide you along the best pathway for your life in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, why is it that Moses couldn't strike that rock again? Because it worked the first time. It's not. The reason is God wants us to rely on Him, not on some formula. Well, you know, if I do this and I do that, then the other will happen, then God will bless me. No, if that's all it took, we wouldn't really need God. We just follow these steps for success. We just keep on striking the rock. You know, we just keep on applying the principles. But on purpose, God changes the method. So we have to go to Him for our daily bread. God is looking for people, family. He's looking for people who recognize that He is the source of our strength. He is the source of our success. In Him is health. In Him is freedom. In Him is ideas. In Him is abundance. Family, when you rely on Him, He will take you from victory to victory. But you see, here's the whole key. He may not do it the same way as what He's done it in the past. I mean, could it be that you are stuck? You're not seeing the progress that you should be seeing because you're still striking the rock when you should be speaking to the rock. In other words, maybe you're stuck in tradition, in the way it happened in the past. You're trying to duplicate the same way when God wants to do a new thing, a new way, with new ideas, with new people, bringing new talents out of you. You didn't even know that were in you. See, if you'll start getting your daily bread, what do I mean? I mean listening to what God is saying now. Then you will see water begin to flow out of you in greater ways. I mean, David understood this principle. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David had just been made king over all of Israel. And when the Philistines heard about it, they came down to the valley to attack David. Now, David was a warrior. I mean, David had conquered a lot of armies. David's nature was to attack. But here's why David was considered a man after God's own heart. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19, look what happened. So it says, so David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? Now, I want you to see David's humility. David didn't say, hey, listen, I've got this man. I've been there. No problem. I killed Goliath when I was 17. I killed the bear. I killed the lion. I've defeated all these armies. No problem. I got this. No, David took time to inquire of the Lord. Before he went to battle, he got quiet. He said, God, what do you want me to do? Shall I attack the Philistines? And now, this was a practice David did often. I mean, I went and did a little study here in 1 and 2 Samuel. It's amazing how many times it tells you David inquired of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 23, for example, 1 Samuel 23 verse 1, I'll give you a couple of examples. It says, then they told David, they said, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keliel and they are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. He said, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Now, in 1 Samuel 23 verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. When David's hometown of Ziklag was attacked by the Amalekites and set on fire, and they burned it down, they took his wives, they took all their children as prisoners, as captive. What did David do? The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then what did he do? He inquired of the Lord. He said, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, God said, pursue them, for you shall surely overtake them. And without fail, you will recover all. And then it says in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, go to Hebron. Listen, this was a common, I want you to see that this was a common practice for David. That David would go inquire of the Lord. David would get daily direction. David didn't assume because something worked in the past that it was going to work again right there and then. In 2 Samuel 5, David asked that question. God, will you hand this enemy over to me? Must I go and pursue them? It seems like that would be a given because he'd just been put in charge of the nation of Israel. God's chosen people. Surely God wouldn't let them be defeated. They were God's people. But the fact is, listen to me, family. We are not supposed to fight every battle. I said, there are some battles you don't need to fight. David was smart enough to ask, am I supposed to attack? He was saying, God, if I go in there, are you going to go in there with me? He was showing that he was dependent completely on God. He recognized where his strength, where his favor, where his ability came from, family. Sometimes we assume if there's an obstacle or if there's something trying to stop us, then there's no question we should get in there and go to battle. God's on our side. But a wiser approach is to say, God, what is your plan? How do you want me to respond to this opposition? Shall I attack or shall I be still and let you fight the battle for me? Are you hearing me today, family? You see, we've all fought battles where we didn't come out the way we thought. Maybe it's because we didn't inquire of the Lord. It goes on to say in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19, the Lord answered him. He said, go, I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hand. So once David had clear direction, once he knew he had God's blessing, he went down there and he defeated the Philistines. He defeated the enemy. But family, if we would do like David and inquire of the Lord before we get into conflict, before we make big decisions, go to God for daily direction, for daily manna. It'd save us a lot of heartache. It'd save us a lot of pain. I mean, I've learned what God orders, He will pay for. But God is not obligated to bring victory to battles we're not supposed to be in. Can you hear me this morning? And yes, God is merciful. And God will help us. But it's much better to inquire of the Lord before you make an important decision, family. Are you with me?
Yes.
A few months later, the Philistines came back to the same valley. They came to the same valley to attack David again. And David could have thought, well, this is a no-brainer. I don't even have to pray about it this time. I know what to do. I must go down there and attack them. That's what God told me the last time. But David realized he couldn't live off of yesterday's manna. He knew yesterday's information may not be appropriate for today's challenges. So look what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And so David inquired of the Lord. And he answered, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. You see, same valley, same enemy, but this time God says, I'm going to do it differently. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. What God said this time, I want you to go around the back. And when you hear the sound of marching on the tops of the poplar trees, you know that I've gone before you. And you know that I'm fighting this battle and I'm going to give you the victory. If David hadn't inquired of the Lord, he would have done it the first way, like it worked before. Because that's just common sense. Hey, it worked last time. I'm just going to work the same this time. But listen to me, God's ways are not our ways. God doesn't want you to get hooked on a formula. He wants you to get hooked on Him. He wants you to rely upon Him. When you develop this habit of going to God for your daily bread, for your daily direction, and saying, God, how do you want me to respond? Lord, how shall I deal with this situation? God, give me wisdom. Give me insight. Give me direction. Give me favor. That's how, let me tell you, God will lead you down the best path for your life when you have that daily direction, when your daily bread, when you daily reliant upon the Lord. Can you say amen? Family, are you fighting battles that you're not supposed to fight? If God hasn't given you permission, then you're going to do it in your own strength, in your own ability. And it'll be a constant struggle. There's no grace for it. Just because it was right the last time doesn't mean that it's right this time. But David, you might be skilled in battle. I mean, you know, you're tough. You can take on the best of them. But if you've got to check in with HQ, with headquarters. You've got to inquire of the Lord. God, am I supposed to fight this battle? Show me the right steps that I must take. And then you listen to what you're feeling down on the inside. Not in your head, but down here in your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:27, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's innermost being. God uses your spirit to guide you. God uses your spirit to speak to you. The scripture calls it the still small voice. It's like an inward impression. It's like an inward witness. You can't explain it. You just know this is what I'm supposed to do. That's God giving you daily direction down here on the inside. The Bible says in Colossians 3 verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And if you read the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. It says, let the peace which comes from Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. The Bible says you should let the peace of God rule in your heart like an umpire. What does an umpire do? The umpire says, that was out. That was a strike. That was a ball. That was a foul. The umpire. Everybody listens to the umpire. Am I right? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. You could be the greatest player. Who's the best basketball player right now? Who? LeBron's still playing. Of course, he's playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Let's say LeBron. It doesn't matter if you are LeBron James. If the umpire says it's out, how many of you know? It's out. The Bible says the peace of God should rule in your heart like that. Like an umpire. In other words, if you're considering making a decision and you don't have peace, don't do it. Let the peace of God rule and determine what to do. Be led by the peace of... See, that's one way God leads you, in your heart. Now, I'm not talking about your head. I'm talking about down in your heart, your spirit. You have a peace. We must continually seek and follow God's guidance, family. If you don't have peace in your heart about something, then don't do it. This is where Joshua, the Israelites, they got off course. They'd just seen the walls of Jericho come down. They defeated armies along the way. God's favor was on them. But there was a group of people called the Gibeonites. They lived about two cities over from where Joshua and the Israelites were camped. And when they heard about how powerful and how successful the Israelites were, they knew they couldn't compete with them. And they were going to be driven out of their land. These Israelites are driving everybody out of their land. So they came up with a plan. They were going to try and deceive Joshua. Yes, they loaded up their donkeys with these old, run-down, worn-out sacks. They put on clothes that had holes in them. They put on sandals that were falling apart. They left their food out on purpose so it would be old and moldy and stale. They did this so that it would seem like they had traveled a great distance. Yes. And they showed up at Joshua's camp. And they said to them in Joshua 9 verse 6, we've come from a far country. Now therefore, we want to make a covenant with you. We want to make a covenant with you. We want to make a peace treaty with you. And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? So they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? And they said, from a very far country. Your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Shihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was of Ashtaroth. Therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us. They said, take provisions with you for the journey. Go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now therefore, make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it's dry, it's moldy, and these wineskins which we have filled were new, and now they are torn, and these garments and our sandals become old because of the very long journey we've been on. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not seek. They didn't do what? They didn't do what? They didn't ask counsel of the Lord. They didn't inquire of God. So Joshua made peace with them. He made a covenant with them, and he let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. Now, listen, why did they want to make a covenant with Joshua and the people of Israel? Why did they want to make a covenant? Because if we're in covenant, you can't kill me. If we're in covenant, you've got to protect me. That's why they ask, are you sure you don't live nearby? Because God had told them to drive out all the enemies. And those, and God said, I've given you the land. But they come and say, no, we come from a far land. And they didn't inquire of the Lord. A few days later, the truth came out. Joshua discovered they weren't who they said they were. They were from a city just a couple of towns over. The Israelite people were furious. They were ready to wipe them out. They said they weren't ready to let them have it. But Joshua said, no, we can't touch them. We made a covenant. If we break our covenant, God will come against us. It was a big headache. It could have all been avoided, but the problem was they didn't consult the Lord. They just looked at it on the surface. Everything seemed fine. But how many of you know God can see things we can't see? That's why you need to go to Him before you get involved with people, before you sign that contract, before you put the money down. Do yourself a favor. Consult with the Lord. Because people are not always who they say they are. Has anyone found out that people are not always who they say they are? They can show you one side, the side they want you to see, but God sees everything. And you can get caught up in how fine she is. She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. Steve, he's tall, dark, handsome, rich. Did you hear the last part? He's tall, dark, handsome, and rich. I don't have to consult with the Lord. The Lord just answered my prayer. The Lord just answered my prayers. Listen, you better step back. Joshua, you may end up with somebody who's not who you think they are. Number two, have you heard the story about the two young ladies in their 20s? They traveled from their home in California down to Tijuana, Mexico. You ever heard this story before? They were there. They were going to go Christmas shopping for the day. So when they returned to their car, they noticed what looked like a little puppy. It looked like a little chihuahua. It was squirming around in the gutter. And they could see it was in a lot of pain. And so they felt so sorry for it. They picked it up and put it in the trunk of their car. They were going to take it home. They didn't want the border control to see it. So they put the little puppy in the trunk of their car. And one of the girls took it to her apartment, gave it some milk, trying to nurse it back to health. She tried to feed it. It wouldn't eat anything. That night, she wrapped it in a blanket, put it in bed with her. The next morning, it was doing worse than ever. She rushed to the emergency animal clinic, handed it to the veterinarian, began to describe the symptoms, you know. The doctor stopped her. He said, where did you get this animal? She thought she might be in trouble because she brought it across the border. Finally, she had to admit, she said, my friend and I found this little chihuahua in the gutter in Tijuana. He said, young lady, this is not a chihuahua. This is a Mexican river rat. Everything is not what it seems. You better consult with the Lord. You don't want any rats living in your house. I'm asking you today, what's the point? Go to God for daily directions. You're not going to make the best decisions. You're not going to be guided down the best path for your life if you're not consulting with the Lord. Don't do like Joshua, try and figure it out in your own strength. Be like David. David inquired of the Lord, should I do this, Lord? Should I do that, Lord? And wait till you have a peace from God. Remember, yesterday's matter is not going to be good for today. God wants you to rely on Him every day. If you develop this habit of going to God daily for fresh manna, for strength, for wisdom, for direction, for provision. Let me tell you, I believe God's going to lead you down the best path for your life. I believe God is going to protect you from mistakes. I believe God is going to bring the right people. I believe God is going to take you into the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. If you determine you are going to go to God for daily bread, you're going to consult with the Lord. Let me tell you, He will guide you. He will direct you. He will open doors for you. Every day He will be with you, family, but you've got to look to Him. You've got to rely on Him and you've got to consult with Him. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. We're giving thanks today. Did you get something out of this morning?
Yes.
I trust and I pray and hope that you've been stirred in your heart. Because my purpose is to stir you and encourage you to simply go to God every day and look to Him to guide you and to direct you. I know this is simple, but I guarantee I don't even want to ask how many of you do it. Because it would be embarrassing. But I trust today. Let me tell you, one of the greatest habits you can ever develop in your life is to go to God daily. He planned out your life. God destined you. Did you realize that? Can I share something just real quick with you that Pastor Tia was doing, talking about this the other day? Do you remember when Mary was pregnant with Jesus? And her cousin was pregnant with John the Baptist. Is it her cousin Elizabeth? Is anyone aware of this?
Yes.
When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And the Bible says that when Elizabeth came into the room where Mary was,
yes, sir.
That the babe in her womb leapt.
Yes, sir.
John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb when Elizabeth saw Mary and she was pregnant. Are you with me so far? Are you with me so far? The babe in Elizabeth's womb did what? Leapt. Why? Because his mother saw Mary and Jesus, the Son of God, was in was when she was pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. Are you with me so far? Here's my point. People talk about when does life begin. How many of you know that in order for that babe to have leapt in Elizabeth's womb, that baby must be alive? Not only that, but that baby had a spiritual experience, was able to know spiritually that the Son of God was in Mary's womb. Now hang in there. Do you know that at the moment of conception, your spirit was placed in your mother's womb. The moment you were conceived. The scripture says, without the spirit, the body is dead.
That's right.
The Bible says in James chapter 2, as faith without works is dead, so the body without the spirit is dead. In other words, your spirit is what gives life to your body. The moment of conception. Do you know what this... I don't have to explain conception, right? Good. I'm glad. At the moment of conception, listen to me. The moment of conception, your spirit entered your body, entered your mother's womb, and it was life. That's why abortion is murder. At any time. Any time. And there are babies being aborted at 8 months. In our country, 67 million babies aborted. I pray that this whole thing will be overturned. Roe versus Wade, overturned. There's a chance it could happen. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that. I know why I did, because I want you to see. The Word of God says, before I knew you in your mother's womb, before you were formed, I knew you. God has a destiny for your life before you were even born. God has a plan and a destiny and a pathway. But in order to follow His plan, you've got to go to Him every day. You've got to say, Lord, guide me today. Give me wisdom today. Show me the right path. Open the right doors. Lord, I'm relying, I'm trusting in you to guide my feet. and to lead me that your will be done. I'm telling you, you start praying like that, you will be amazed at what starts to happen in your life. You will be amazed because God will take you at your word. God will start guiding you. God will start directing you. But if you just go to God and say, Lord, this is what I want to do. Here's my plan. Please bless it. Rather go and say, Lord, what's your plan? Because then it's already blessed. Are you with me this morning? Come and give the Lord a hand of praise and thanks this morning. Say this. Say it with me. Say, our Father. Say, my Father. Who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. As it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. And what's the next one? And forgive me my debts. Say, forgive me my debts. Forgive me my sins. As I forgive my debtors. Say it with me. Say, do not lead me into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Say this. Say, Lord, I'm looking to you daily to direct me, to give me daily guidance, daily wisdom. I'm relying on you, Lord, not my will. I want your will for my life. Guide me down the best pathway for my life. Open the right doors. Close the wrong doors. Bring the right people across my path. Move the wrong people out of the way, Lord. I'm looking to you to lead me, to guide me, to direct me. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Won't you bow your heads for a moment, please? Won't you close your eyes for a moment while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed? I want to pray right now. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Listen, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt? You're absolutely positive. If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, can you say for certain, you know for sure, that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for certain. You can be sure about that. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God. Knowing that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away. You can walk out of here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend eternity. Dear friend, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Please include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, I want you quickly right now, just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. Just lift it up. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else, just put it up high. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Is anyone else just lifted up high this morning? I'm going to ask everyone who raised your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Please say this prayer with me from your heart. In fact, church, let's all say it together. Everybody say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me. To take my sin, to take my punishment, to die in my place, so that I could be saved. Lord, your word says that if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. So I do this today. Say, I believe Jesus Christ, you're the Son of God. You've been raised from the dead. And I ask you, come into my heart, Lord. Cleanse me of my sin. Save me. Make me your child. Because I surrender my life to you. Say, I confess Jesus is my Lord. And I thank you, Lord, because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm now born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen, somebody? Thank you, Lord. Now, there were a few people, raise your hands up. I want to ask you in a few minutes when we close the service. We're not quite finished, but in a few minutes we close the service. If you raised your hand, please will you remain seated where you are. We have volunteers, we have counselors in our church. They saw you lift your hand up. They're going to come over to you. We have a gift we want to give you before you go home. So just remain seated if you don't mind, just for a couple of minutes. We won't keep you long at all. We just want to give you a gift and just share something with you before you leave. So thank you. Don't forget, family, next week we are going to see a lot of people saved next week, because you're going to be bringing people with you next week, right? Did anyone get their card up on the board? Looks like some people didn't get their card up. We're going to come bring it up now. We're going to pray. After the offering, we're going to pray over those cards. If you want to put your card on the board, please come and do it now. And as soon as we finish giving to the Lord, we'll pray over those and we'll close this morning.
Praise God. He will lead us along the best pathway for our life. Right? It's good to know. As I knew Pastor Steve was teaching on daily bread, and so I read the Lord's Prayer again this week, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, we know that it's talking about direction, talking about, we can use it for so many different areas, but we can use it in the area of provision, of financial, of what are we going to eat today, meeting our physical, material needs, right? Give us today our daily bread. And I love at the beginning of this passage, Jesus, when he's going to give them this prayer, he says, therefore, don't be like them, for your Father, he was talking about people who just pray to be seen. He says, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. How many of you know that God knows your needs?
Yeah.
We know God knows everything, right? And yet Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. So it's important that we pray, that we bring our needs before the Lord, even though he knows what we have need of, right?
Yes.
But I read a verse further on. Read this up on the screen, because it's from the Message Bible. Jesus said this. He said, in prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. Say, there's a connection between what God does and what I do. He said, you can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. That's in that passage, right? He says, if you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. Isn't that crazy? God is willing to forgive us of all our sin, but if we don't do our part, we don't get forgiven, right? We have to forgive others. So now, I thought about it in the area of provision. We can be praying, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Lord, provide for me.
Yeah.
Lord, you are the provider. But if we're not doing our part, we can cut ourselves off from God's part.
Yeah.
Do you see that? That's really serious, because sometimes people say, well, why doesn't God do for me? But if we're not doing our part, he can't do what he needs to do. Amen?
Yeah.
And so it's not enough to know that God does provide. We need to tithe and obey the word of God, right? The Bible says in Malachi, just like if we said, Lord, forgive me, but then we think of that person that we hate so badly and has hurt us, I'll refuse to forgive them. We're not going to get forgiven. Just the same, if we say, Lord, provide for me, But we know that he says to tithe and give and we won't do it. We're not going to get provision.
Right?
It's just, that's the truth of the word. The Bible says in Malachi 3, God said, should people cheat God? We know the answer to that, right? Nobody should cheat God. Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse where your whole nation has been cheating me. So this is an example. If they say, God provide for us, but he says, I can't. You're cheating me. So that's what he's saying. And then he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, say, if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So God gives him a great promise, but he says, if you do, I'm your provider, but I need you to do. Your prayer is dependent not only on what God will do, but on what you will do. And you know, I hear people say sometimes, and I hope you don't mind me just talking truthfully, because Pastor Steve and I, there's never any gimmicks. We're not trying to tell you anything that we wouldn't tell our own children or we wouldn't say for our own lives. But sometimes people say, oh, you know, I'm tithing, but I know they only give $10 here, $20 there. If you get $10, $1 is a tithe to the Lord. If you get $100, $10 is a tithe to the Lord. If you get $1,000, $100, you know, you've got it. That's how it goes. It's a specific number. And God says, when you do what I say, then you release me to do what I want to do in your life, what you're asking. So when we pray, give us today our daily bread, let's make sure that we're doing what God has asked us to do and told us to do. Amen? So the principles are these. First of all, we faithfully tithe. Second of all, go back to that, please. Just go back one. Thanks, Tasha. Sorry, I know. No, one forward one. I know this, but I like to read it. First of all, we faithfully tithe. Then we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, this is what I need. He said, pray that. Give us today my daily bread. And then we thank God. Then we say, Lord, you are my provider. Thank you that the windows of heaven are open above me. Then we speak in faith. Yeah. Right, family? Yeah. You receive that? Yeah. As we prepare to give, there are envelopes in the seats in front of you. I know a number of people. Thank you to those who have already given online. It's an easy way to do it, or give by text giving. But we're going to pray over the offering today. Hold that in your hand. Thank you, Father, that you are our provider. Thank you that we can come to you with everything we need. Thank you that you are, you said, look at how I care for the birds of the air. Look how I care for even the grass of the field. How much more do I care for you? So, Father, we come to you knowing that you are our Father and you do care for us. And you know what it is that we have need of. Give us today our daily bread. Provide. Pray for every person in this place that you provide everything they need. If it's housing, if it's jobs, if it's food. Father, whatever it is that they need, even in their businesses. But Father, today we are faithfully coming to you with our tithes and our offerings. We put our trust in you, Lord. We declare that you are first in our lives. And we thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Two things before we go home. Number one, I want to encourage you, if you haven't got your ticket for our Christmas dinner, we would love for you to be with us at our Christmas dinner, which is on Monday, December the 12th. And tickets are available at the book table out there. The dinner is going to be at the Barolo Ristorante. Huh? Ristorante? Restaurant. We went there for Thanksgiving dinner and we had a wonderful time. It's Bill Lebansky's restaurant and they're doing a wonderful deal, great deal for us, having a four-course meal for $35. It's salad, pasta, entree, and dessert. It's going to be a wonderful evening. We're going to have some music. Our band's going to be doing some music. We're going to have fun. It's a chance to meet people in the church, meet, you know, new people, and meet people you haven't met before. And bring your wife. It's also a great chance. Maybe you've got your husband. Your wife doesn't normally come to church. Invite them to the Christmas dinner. It's sometimes a great way of breaking the ice. But we'd love for you to be there. If you haven't got your tickets, please go to the book table. Go get them. Join with us. It's going to be a great evening of fun and fellowship. And then finally, ushers, you can go ahead. Is everyone ready to give this morning? All the givers said amen.
Amen.
All the cheerful givers said amen.
Amen.
And then finally, Amy, come stand up here for a second would you? After service today, how many of you know what's happening after service today? We're going to take a break, but at 1:30, you hold that. At 1:30, we're going to come back, and Amy is going to be teaching a soul-winning class. Now, Amy came to me a few weeks ago because, I mean, most of you know who Amy is, and we've got some new folks that maybe since you've been in Bible college, but Amy and her sister Amanda and her mom Diane been in our church, and Amy was in our worship team, and she felt led of the Lord to go to Bible college over in Tampa, her and Amanda. So they've been at Bible college, Rodney Halfbrown's Bible college, and a few weeks ago they came back to visit, and Amy was telling me about how they've been going out on the streets and learning how to win souls, and she was so excited about it. I mean, was it, who went out and won 100 people to the Lord? Was that you or Amanda? You went out and won 100 people to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, as students, we have to win at least 30 souls each quarter, which ends up being like every 2 to 3 months. So, I mean, it's a part of a grade, but it ended up turning into, like, obviously a passion. So when you really start diving into what the Lord has called everybody to do, something happens in your own heart that actually fuels the rest of your life, and you'll feel it in yourself. So I encourage everybody to kind of take the leap of maybe past your comfort zone or your fears or whatever it might be, and just step into really what God has called everybody to do. It was the last commandment that he left us with before he went and died for us. He said, go out, get people saved, win, make disciples,
right,
get them baptized, teach them what I taught you.
That's right.
And that's it. It's not like, you know, it's a command.
Let me ask you a question. Before you went out winning souls, were you a bit nervous about it?
Yeah.
You were nervous?
Yes.
Why were you nervous?
No one had ever taught me how to do it. So, like, you think it ends up being, oh, well, I'm going to go and God's going to, like, you know, maybe one person every month, oh, this person just looks really sad and they need God, so let me, like, tell them about Jesus.
Look for the easy target, is that what you mean? And then what happened? What happened when you went out? What actually happened?
So then they actually taught me, they gave us a script, which was awesome, because at first you think it's awkward that you have a script that you're reading off.
Here's the script.
Yeah.
This is a script you're going to be teaching them, right?
Right.
To follow the script.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to teach you pretty much what they taught me. And they give you a script, you learn the script, you kind of learn what to say to people through the script, and it's the best part is it's not your words. It doesn't matter how people react. If they reject it, they're not rejecting you, they're actually rejecting God, because the script is right, it's pretty much right from the Word of God. So you're not even relying on your own confidence, it's actually the confidence is in the performance and the power of the gospel itself. So when you read the script, it kind of eases up the tension, and you don't have to put all the pressure on yourself anymore. So when I learned how to do that, I was like, wow, it's that easy. So my first time I went out, I was really nervous, and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And I just started talking to somebody, and they said the prayer. I felt like some sort of, like, in my own heart, the first person I spoke to, it almost, like, created a fire, like a bigger fire, and it broke something in my heart, and I was like, whoa. And then I started doing it more and more and more and more, and you just can't stop, and you see people's lives change, and you see the power of God fall on these people, and it's life-changing. It starts there, but it actually penetrates into every area of your life. It's a blessing.
What happened to you when you started going out and winning souls on the street? What happened? Did it do something for you?
I can't stop. So yeah, it actually, it reveals to you another side of God. You know, there's endless sides of God. He's everywhere, he's everything, so you're never gonna, he's never gonna be depleted to you. You're always gonna be able to get something more from him and learn something more about him. So when you're speaking to these people, you actually start, and this is the first thing probably I noticed after the first few weeks of me doing this, was I was going around and I wasn't even seeing out of the eyes that I used to see with. I was actually seeing out of the eyes of Jesus, and I was looking at these people and I wasn't even seeing what I used to see. And when I would walk down the road, I wasn't even like myself anymore. I started feeling like I was becoming more like Jesus, and just, I could feel the spirits of people crying out for something more. And so I wasn't even soul winning this day, and I would just be walking down the road and it was like, talk to this person. And I was like, oh, always on the way to something, but you just have to obey. And I would turn and, talk to them. And these people, like one lady just started crying, and she was like, wow. And I started speaking out of the heart that the Lord started putting in me from doing this. It wasn't even your own words. And then you can really pour into people that way, because it's not even you, it's actually Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. So Amy was a little nervous at first, then you learned the script, and now are you nervous now about going out? You lost that, right? Now you're confident. So Amy said to me, Pastor Steve, I'd love to teach the class at Christian Family Church. And so I took her up on it. I said, absolutely. I think this is a great opportunity. So at 1:30, we're going to come back. We're going to be not in this room. We're going to be in the Beacon Room. That's as you walk into the hotel. It's on the right-hand side. We had church there once before, just before the bridge as you go out. In the Beacon Room, we're going to meet there at 1:30. Amy's going to go through the script, and she's going to take about 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes to teach us. And then we're going to go out in Harborside in teams, teams of two, right?
At least two. Smaller groups are better, especially if you're just starting.
Two or three, you say?
Four, five. 2, 3, 4.
Okay. So you're not going to go out on your own. And then we're going to go out and we're going to actually put this into practice. Now, when you go out, of course, we can also hand out the invite to the Christmas service. And isn't it just a great opportunity that we can invite them to Bill Weiss next Sunday? So you can invite them to Bill, invite them to Christmas. So, and we had a lot of people last week, about 35 people put up their hands and said, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do the soul winning class. It's free of charge, we've got the materials ready, we can handle up to 50 people. So, how many of you are coming back at 1:30 to go out and learn to do the soul winning and go out with Amy? Lift your hands up for me, let me see all those 35 people. Where art thou? Where are those 35 people gone? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I've got 22 I'm waiting for. I'm going to wait for those 22 people. Those people who put up your hands. In fact, where's my papers? I've got your name with me. If you would like, I can call your name out for you. At 1:30... we're going to go grab a bite to eat, be back at 1:30. Amy's going to teach us how to do this. Listen, don't let fear hold you back. This is the greatest purpose for your life, is to reach others, pluck them out of hell, rescue them from hell, and put them on the path towards eternal life. The greatest thing you can ever do, greatest joy that you ever experience, is the joy of leading someone to Christ. Don't go your whole life and never lead someone to the Lord. Never learn how to do it. Come and join us at 1:30 with Amy. Do the soul winning. 1:30. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. I want you to... Church. I want you to stretch your hands, if you would, and help me pray for these people. Stretch your hands and let's pray together as we close. Father, I thank you for every person whose name is written on this board. Lord, I pray that every person that's invited, that they will come. I pray, Lord, that you will give each of us a boldness, a passion for souls, for the lost. Father, we claim these people for your kingdom. I take authority over every demonic spirit that would try and blind them unto the light of the gospel. Devil, I command you to loose them. Let their minds go in Jesus' name. We claim them for the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you that they will come. I thank you that they will be saved. I thank you for a great harvest of people next week, Lord. I thank you for using us this week, Lord. Help us to invite people. Help us to reach people, Lord. People that are all around us that are headed toward a burning hell. Help us, Father, to reach out, to invite them, to share your goodness with them, Lord. Rescue them in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, next Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m., soul winning class at 1:30. We'll see you then. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you to all of our volunteers, our setup team, our breakdown team, our media children's church. Thank you so much. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you.